Dr. Patricia Knoll is a counselor who's been working with people for decades. She's also a drug addiction specialist, and she's an acupuncturist. In addition, she's an author of the book, Good With Me, A Simple Approach to Real Happiness from the Inside Out. If you listen to this each week and you buy her book, you too can proudly be good with me. Hey, everybody, welcome back. Thanks so much for being here. I appreciate you being on board here with us on the Pete O'Shea Show on your neighborhood inspiration station, AM 1110 WTIS. I'm Pete O'Shea. I got Kathy Curtis on the board. Again, if you're just joining us, keep the prayers lifted for everybody in San Bernardino, California. Three gunmen in armored gear broke into an office area. They say at least 20 victims, 12 dead. They're still counting everything. It's still an active crime scene. So keep the prayers lifted for those folks in San Bernardino. Okay, it's time for you. Just heard the sound. They're good with me with Dr. Patricia Knoll, A Simple Approach to Real Happiness from the Inside Out. It's a phenomenal book. It has changed my life. You and I had a chance to do the book signing on Saturday, so we had a long time to talk, and I kept telling you, so many aha moments, so many things that come from reading this book that you can really then apply into your real life. It's about that. It's really about that. It's not just reading the book. It's then making the work, doing the work, and applying it into your life and actually changing the stinking thinking and the loop and everything else that we've lived and the way we've played our own lives in our head and the way we've sort of self-destructed ourselves. And we don't even realize we're doing it. We're trashing ourselves in our own brain, and we don't even realize it. But once you stop that, it's amazing, then what could start happening, right?
Things get to change then, don't they?
Yeah, they do. They really do. So last week we were in chapter one. We were talking about just at the very beginning, okay? And we're getting through the end of that. And at the end was the first exercise. And that's what I like about it too, is that you have these exercises in here. And we're talking about, so you want to be happy. And at the end, there's the exploration and discovery part. Okay, these are important. These are important that they do these exercises in each chapter of the book, okay? Because through that comes the self-exploration. And that, from that, they're going to discover a lot of things, aren't they?
Discover who you are, for real.
Yeah.
Instead of who you've made up being.
You'll actually be able to discover what you were taught about happiness and how far from reality it really is, isn't it?
Right. What you already think and believe about happiness, what you've been taught, and here's what's really important, is to be able to discover the difference between self-dependent happiness and other dependent happiness. Is it really yours or is it someone else's?
Right, exactly. So again, you'll discover that you don't have to put your life at risk to feel better. You don't have to try to be somebody who you're not. You don't have to try to live up to everybody's expectations. That's a big one. We all try to live up to everybody's expectations of who we are so that we can be good enough. So then we could say, look, I'm happy because everybody says I did it.
Right. Or I'm happy because I have the right things around me.
Yeah.
Or I've accomplished enough in life. Or it's always dependent upon someone or something outside of ourselves.
Exactly. So again, at the end of each chapter, the exploration and discovery is critically important for that real self-exploration. And from that, you talk about in this, there's three skills that you must master in order to achieve the desired results of self-exploration. Could you explain those to us?
I sure can. You've got to be able to monitor and change the way you're thinking in order to change the way you feel, and in order to change the way you behave.
So you have to actually monitor, you have to actually stop yourself and say, oh, wait a second, I'm doing it again.
Right.
You know, and maybe even journal about it, keep it written down so that you can say, oh, look, I did it, and I'm doing it less, and I'm getting better at it, right?
That's right. You know, by monitoring our thinking, most people don't even know that they're thinking. So that's the first thing, is to be able to monitor it and say, wow, I didn't even know I was thinking those things. And now, once I know what I'm thinking, now I can begin to change it.
Wow. Again, we just spend so much time in our own head, you don't even realize you're conjuring up notions about yourself. It's in your semi-subconscious and in sort of in your brain, and you're doing some of the other things, but you just conditioned yourself to think that way.
That's right. And we buy into it really well, and therefore we don't feel good about ourselves. So now we have to learn how to manufacture good thoughts about who we are so that we're not dependent upon what anyone else or anything else outside of us
this is a big
does
one.
For us.
We have to begin to, again, manufacture good thoughts. for so long, we all live in that stinking thinking, bad thoughts about ourselves.
That's right.
So this is, you got to do a 180 here and start saying, no, wait a minute. I'm a child of God, and I have wonderful gifts, and I was given these talents, and I can help people, and I'm good, and I don't have to worry about what anybody else thinks about me.
Absolutely. But until we know this, we go through every day just worrying what people think about us.
It's a process, too, because at first, even when you're manufacturing the goods, you're still not 100% confident of it. It's about reinforcing it, too, and continuing to do it. You have to do it regularly.
Right, because at first it's almost like, yeah, who are you kidding?
Yeah. Right, you're like, wait a minute, did I just say that about myself?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, right.
Who's going to believe that?
But man, if you keep doing it, if you keep, you know, you have to be steady with this. You have to be consistent. You have to keep doing it, okay? Okay, so that's the first one is then monitor and change your thoughts so you can change the way you feel and behave. Second one, manufacture good thoughts about yourself that are not dependent upon anyone or anything outside of you. And then what's the third one?
And the third one is to be able to have fun while you're engaging in all of these activities that are new and different. You know, we're usually afraid of change, or something that's different is very uncomfortable, so it isn't fun at first. And fun is really an important part of this whole process. And as we start to manufacture good thoughts about ourselves and change the way we see ourselves, our definition of fun changes.
Yeah, it does.
As well.
You know, you say it right, you have fun without engaging in your addictions or other risky behaviors. For the first half of my life, I'm 50 years old. For the first half of my life, I did not believe it was possible to have any fun whatsoever unless I was using intoxicants.
Absolutely.
Multiple intoxicants at the same time. And I wouldn't go to a movie, I wouldn't go to a party, I wouldn't go to a baseball game unless I was intoxicated, because that was the only way to have fun.
Right.
Okay, and that was ridiculous, because now it is in the second half of my life, I realized how dumb that was, how far from fun that actually was, and how much fun you can really have when you're just actually having fun as yourself.
Yes, and having fun and not knowing that you could have fun without it was, at that point in time, part of what you didn't know you didn't know.
Yeah, exactly. Because at that point, I didn't believe you. I would never have believed you if you told me I could have fun without drinking. I would
absolutely
never. No, that's not possible.
That's right. You might as well take me out and shoot me right now.
Yeah, but I'll never have fun again, is what I used to say to people when I was coming to the end of it and I was hitting the bottom and people were trying to convince me to stop drinking. I said, well, I'll never have fun again. What am I going to do? Sit in my house for the rest of my life and just mope around?
Right.
You know, and I've had much more fun in this second chapter of my life than I ever did in the first.
Absolutely.
So these three skills, you got to absolutely muster them if you want the desired results, right? I mean, you've got to work on them. You've got to keep pushing at it. And you can't give up. There are going to be days when you're going to fall backwards a little bit. There are going to be days when you can't manufacture those good thoughts, when you're going to go back to it. You're going to lapse. But that's not a reason to give up, right?
Well, right, because the days become hours and then minutes and then seconds. So, you know, there really are no bad days. It's just the way we think about the day.
Absolutely.
And the way
right.
we think about ourselves. So as we practice this and continue on with the explorations and discoveries, that length of time shortens.
Right, because you get getting better at it. You get strength, you get courage, you get momentum. You start feeling good about yourself. And then, therefore, you're not manufacturing anymore. You're actually believing it. It's actually real.
Yeah, and we actually become that which is good enough.
Yeah, and that's really where that's the turning point.
Yes.
That's from the exploration and discovery parts of this. I want to get in and out of part one because I think this is such a key to it all, Doc, okay?
Yep.
Life inside my box.
Right.
You know, tell us what that means.
Well, life is really, really small when we don't have self-esteem. Real self-esteem. And life gets really limited. It feels really confining.
That's a key word.
Right.
Confining.
Confining. And it's almost like we're living in a box.
Yeah.
And then, Pete, we stay in the box because we make up our own rules that allow us to stay in it.
Wow. We actually make up excuses, rationalizations for why it's okay to stay in the box.
Yes. Even though it's miserable and isn't a lot of fun at times, it becomes okay because we justify it with the way we think.
And we get so good at those if we put the same energy, the same creativity into actually believing good things about ourselves as we do coming up with the excuses. Could you imagine what we're capable of?
Right. That's why, you know, when we get this shift going and we actually start turning it around for ourselves, so many people are extremely happy and successful and full of peace inside because they aren't dependent anymore. That shift takes place.
I love what you said one of the first days you were in here with us here. You said, we live inside our box, but where are the instructions to get out?
On the outside of the box.
Yeah, and so we can't read them because we're still in the box.
That's right.
But they're sitting right there, which is the crazy part of it. It's not like they're far, far away. They're right there, but you just can't get to them because they're on the outside of the box.
That's right. So what does that mean? It means something has to change so you can get out of the box, and then you get to see, oh my gosh, here it was all along.
I think the key word you said in the idea of life in a box is the word confining. And we do it to ourselves. No one else confines us in this process. We do it to ourselves. And you do the whole woe is me first, but then you wind up doing the, yeah, this is the way it's supposed to be. This is what I deserve. This is the best I can hope for. Or, you know, I'm just going to have to deal with it and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if I'm happy. I don't need to be happy. I don't need to be, you know, and you just rationalize it. And there's so many levels of I say to myself, once, if there was a rationalization hall of fame, I would have my bust would be in there. If there was like a hall of fame for whole rationalization,
you and 99% of society would be in there together.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Because we can do that. We can really come up with some really creative and intricate excuses why we live the boxed in life, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And we'll just keep ourselves in there with our excuses.
And nothing changes. And then that's your whole life. And then there's no joy. There's no happiness. And that's not what God wants for us. That's not what we were sent here to this planet for.
Right.
Yeah, we were sent here to be joyful. We were sent here to be happy, to make the most of this life. You don't get another chance. You don't get days back. You know, you just don't. And so spending them trapped inside that box, doing woe is me, and making excuses for why it's okay to live in that box.
And keep saying, well, this is the way it's always been.
Yeah.
What do you expect?
Yeah.
Right.
But you can change that.
That's right.
All right, so we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about exploring the life inside of the box that involves two esteems. Not one, guys. Two. You always thought there was just one, self-esteem. Oh, no, 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 no. There are two, and we're going to break that down for you when we come right back as we continue with Dr. Patricia Noah. Good with me. A simple approach to real happiness from the inside out. Like I said to you at the beginning of this show, go to goodwithme.com and order 3 copies of the book. One for yourself. One for your very, very best friend, I love you. And then one for the person you've been squabbling with and having a hard time with. And say to that person, let's both start over. You read the book, I'll read the book, then let's circle back together and be friends. I think it's a great thing to do for the
holidays. Love it.
We'll take a break. We'll be right back. I love you and I love Jesus.
Looking for a place to worship, belong, and serve with other believers? Join us at Abundant Life Ministries at 1550 Belcher Road South in Largo. We are a life-giving, spirit-filled church that is culturally relevant but biblically sound. We're about loving God and loving people. Our 5 purposes are worship, connect, grow, serve, and share. Sunday services are 9 a.m., 11 a.m., and 1 p.m. Wednesday night at 7 p.m. is family night with something for all ages, including nursery, kids clubs, the Tribe Student Ministries, the Well Young Adult Group, Celebrate Recovery, and Adult Bible Study. We are an outreach church that is active in the community, the region, and all over the world. Pastor Anthony McDaniel and his wife Kendra have been immersed in ministry since childhood and have been serving this community faithfully for over 20 years. Check out our television broadcast on WCLF Christian Television Network Channel 2 or HD Channel 1002 on Sundays at 10 a.m. with a rebroadcast on Thursdays at 10 p.m. Visit our website and see a live stream of our services at ALM.TV. Like us on Facebook to see what's going on and check out our YouTube channel at Abundant Life 1550.
The statistics are alarming. Children and families all across America are really hurting. More than ever, they need a second chance. More than ever, they need hope. And that's what Eckerd is all about, giving abused, neglected, and at-risk children a much-needed second chance. In fact, since 1968, Eckerd has helped over 150,000 children and their families. But so many more still need help. And I believe that everyone can do something to make a difference. Please, join me in raising hope for America's children and families. Volunteer, spread the word, donate, because every child deserves the opportunity to succeed.
I'm Catherine Neal, a lawyer with the law firm of Carey, Leisure & Neal. I'm a board-certified civil trial lawyer. That means I'm an expert in my field. I practice in the areas of personal injury and wrongful death, and I've been practicing for over 10 years. Our firm has a combined experience in the areas of personal injury and wrongful death for over 30 years. Carey, Leisure & Neal also has a family law department. So if you need help, give us a call at 727-799-3900 or visit our office in Clearwater at 622 Bypass Drive, Suite 100. Check us out on Facebook or on our website at careyandleisure.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Thanks so much for being here with us on the Pete O'Shea Show on your neighborhood inspiration station, AM 1110 WTIS. I'm Pete. I got Kathy on the board. We're in the middle of our time that we enjoy each week with Dr. Patricia Noel. We're working through her book, Good With Me, A Simple Approach to Real Happiness from the Inside Out. And there have been so many aha moments with Kathy and I and everybody listening, like going, yeah, that's right. Wow, okay, and I want to change that. I want to be happy. I want to be good with me. Don't you? Aren't you sick and tired of not being good with you? Really? Come on, it's time now. So I want you to pay very close attention to what she's going to tell us now, because this is one of the keys to everything she teaches, everything that she's been putting out there with her heart, trying to help, trying to make an impact on this kingdom. She's doing a great job with it, too. Now, we're going to move into chapter 2 in the book, The Two Esteems. Tell us what you mean by that, Doc.
Well, what I mean is that there's more than one esteem, and what we have typically traditionally referred to as self-esteem really isn't self-esteem. But let me start with just a simple definition of self-esteem.
Sure.
Self-esteem means that we respect and admire who we are. So, I mean, the word esteem means that, and so if we put self with it, then I admire myself, I respect myself. And that's a simple definition, but in its broadest sense, it becomes, you know, that we have intrinsic value, and that when we value ourselves, it doesn't matter whether someone else values us or not.
Regardless of anybody else's opinion or validation or lack thereof, it's self-esteem, it's gained from inside.
That's right. I own it. It comes from the inside out instead of from the outside
right,
in.
Right.
Yes. So when it's mine, and you can't take it away from me no matter what you think about me.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. So like you said, there are two kinds of self-esteem, and these are by far not equal.
They are not equal. And we don't even know that they're not equal. We don't even know about them. Most people know about self-esteem, although they really have a misunderstanding of what it is. Even professionals have a misunderstanding, in my opinion, of what it is. And so what we've been doing is thinking that self-esteem was self-esteem, and it really isn't. We've been teaching people to have what I have termed other-dependent esteem, which means the esteem that I have for myself depends on someone or something outside of me. I don't own it. It belongs to you.
And that makes it impossible for that self-esteem to turn into a sense of worth.
That's right.
Yeah.
And we've been teaching this other dependent esteem, thinking it was self-esteem, and then wondering why no one's happy.
Yeah.
And it's impossible to be happy when it doesn't belong to us.
Because it's entirely dependent, not just a little bit. Other dependent esteem is completely dependent on others or events outside of ourselves.
That's right.
Yeah. And so it's completely different from what we understand self-esteem to be. So what do you mean? Let's get into that a little bit. You mean like when other people praise you, when other people put you down, whatever it is, what other people say and think, right?
Right. So we worry about what people think about us, because the only way we get to feel good about ourselves is if they feel good about us.
And so what kind of grades you got as a kid, you're having a successful career, are you the right person, are you in the know, do you drive the right car, is everybody talking about you, are you in the papers, are you doing this? All of that determines, again, what your self-worth, what your self-esteem truly is. And that's not self-esteem.
It is not self-esteem. There isn't anything self about that.
Yet we convince ourselves that it is.
That's right. And a lot of people think they have real self-esteem when they really don't. And they'll just kind of fight to the nth degree to say, yes, I do, yes, I do, yes, I do. And they don't really know what it is. They think, well, I have self-esteem because I'm successful in life, because I've accomplished this, or because people like me, or I'm popular, or I have the right things around me.
Yeah.
And that is not self-esteem.
Yeah. Isn't it often true that the folks who from the surface appear to have the most self-esteem actually have the least?
Yes, because that's a smokescreen that they've built up for themselves over the years to protect themselves so that they can feel somewhat secure going through life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So again, the one that you're talking about right now is that, again, the self-esteem is other-dependent esteem, meaning that it's entirely dependent on others or events outside of you. And then true self-esteem, you call it what?
Self-dependent esteem, which comes from within us. We have value just because we exist, not because of what we have, do, or know.
And so if we want to enhance that, we want to build on that, we need to go find the root of that and see who we are as an actual person. What did God send us here to do? Why are we special? What is important about us? We need to be like open to that and willing to examine that and be proud of that and build that up.
Yes, and realize that we have value no matter what. And here's the kicker to this is that once we realize that we have value without having to do anything, then whatever we do can be fun doing it as opposed to being stressful doing it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we put all so much stress on ourselves to make sure, like, you know, you're dressed right and everything's perfect and you do an event and did everything go right? And did this happen? Did we do this? And did we do that? Did that one like it? Did this person go? Was there enough food? Whatever it is, we just drive ourselves crazy trying to keep up with everybody, trying to keep everybody happy with us and trying to gain what we think is self-esteem from someone else.
Right. And when we aren't trying to gain what we think is self-esteem from someone else, we can still dress up and have an event and do all those same things, except that we come from a different place. We come from that place of, remember what I said just a minute ago? Fun.
Yeah. Because
it's fun to do it now.
Because all the pressure you took off yourself.
Yes.
Now. You're not putting all that pressure on yourself to succeed, to keep up with somebody else, to prove to somebody who you think you are, who you're supposed to be. That you're good enough. You know, you just know it because it's intrinsic. It's God. God don't make junk. It really comes down to that. God does not make junk.
That's
for sure.
So if
he sent you here, he made you, you are in fact good.
That's right.
You know, but how many people actually believe that? It's so many don't. So many don't.
Well, if we look at the current research, somewhere between 10 and 15% of people do believe it. That's very few.
Which means you got millions walking around.
That's right.
With no self-esteem whatsoever. With
That's
manufactured
right.
other-dependent esteem, which is very, very weak. It's not sustainable. It's not.
It comes and goes.
It comes and goes. It's in and out. And because of that, you have these incredible ebbs and flows in your life that aren't necessary. All the energy expended, all the downtime that you spend falling apart because someone didn't like your dress or somebody didn't like this or whatever. You know.
That's right.
That one got the promotion. His business card reads better than mine. Come on. That doesn't matter.
That's right. And when we feel good about ourselves, we aren't jealous and we don't feel angry or offended by someone else's success either. We, in fact, enjoy it.
Yeah, and we can actually then be proud of anybody else and help others and be an encouragement
right.
and a source of, you know. I love the first exploration and discovery question in this chapter. Is your self-esteem dependent upon something outside of yourself? Okay, everybody better write yes. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
If you're being honest with yourself.
Right.
Every one of us.
Even
I'll write
a little bit.
I'm going to put it right in now. Right, big giant yes.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
But that's the beginning of being able to change it, is to be able to really boldly write the word yes there.
Because I always say it takes self-esteem, real self-dependent esteem, to be able to admit that you have other dependent esteem.
Wow. Wow.
Because we're hiding that. We don't want anyone to know that. So when we don't have real self-dependent esteem, it is the first, huge, biggest step is to say, I don't have it.
And to understand that our whole life we've been programmed to live that way, to keep up with the Joneses and to be, you know, what do our parents think and what does everybody else think of us and how are we supposed to live our life is based on what other people think.
Mm-hmm.
We're all programmed to believe that. That programming needs to end and you need to break that cycle.
That's right. And we're also programmed to hide all those things about us that we don't want anyone else to know because we're in fear that they won't like us.
Wow, you're just opening up so many amazing things and doing, like, you know, it's just such a straightforward and great approach to looking at things. And want, I mean, don't you want to be good with me as you listen to this, guys? I know I'm working at it because this book shows me so much, Doc. It really does. And so, again, I want you to go to gowithme.com. I want you to order a copy for yourself, for your best friend, for the person you've been tussling with for a while. You know who that person is. You know who they are. And say, look, I'm going to take this simple approach to real happiness from the inside out. Why don't you do the same? And maybe we'll work on it. We'll do the explorations. We'll go back and we'll talk about them.
Yeah, that would be fun, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would be. Yeah, yes. It would. All right, Doc, this is just awesome. I got about 10 seconds left, but I know you wanted to share the answer to your question. What do you want for Christmas that money just can't buy?
The first thing I thought of was peace, and then love, happiness, and the wisdom.
Nice.
To know what I need to know.
Awesome. GoWithMe.com. Check it out. Go get the book. Dr. Noel, thanks so much. You've really helped me so much in my life, and you're helping everybody with this book. You're starting a revolution for everybody to be good with me. That's going to be the answer. This is the answer to get these shootings down. This is the answer.
It is.
Is everybody read this book, Good With Me. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll have a house call with Dr. Tracy Lenhart right after this. Don't go anywhere. Remember, people, I love you, and I love Jesus.